seriously want.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from the
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa?
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Dr. King, Malcolm X, freedom of speech is as good as sex. Abe, Lincoln, Jefferson, Tom, they didn't need the atomic bomb. We need beauty, we need art, we need government without hidden rhythm.
Shut up. Shut up, Madonna.
Your freedom of speech.
This is the last thing that I want to hear. It's Madonna here, man.
You.
No, F you.
You
putain.
You.
I don't need to hear Madonna right at the start of the show. But anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us, enabling us to do the broadcast to all of you with 50,000 powerful watts of sound, thanks to NJDiet.com. Rita Cosby, our political director, is in the house today and
tomorrow.
And
boy, is it going to be an interesting day, Curtis. I'm excited. Listen, low voter turnout probably, but I'm still excited. I love politics.
Oh, there was a low voter turnout, at least where I went to vote, which is my hometown, Canarsie, Brooklyn. I returned to my roots, where I'm still registered, at PS 114. The same elementary school, the polling location, where my mom went, where I went. And so I walked in there at about 9 o'clock this morning, and there was maybe three or four people. And then remember, this is a general election. That was basically the same turnout when I went there for the Democratic primary to see what was transpiring, because I could vote in the Reform Party primary as the New York State Reform Party chairman. And turnout was not at all good. I'd like to find out from many of our listeners, wherever they are throughout New York State or New Jersey, where elections are taking place today, what the turnout was like at their polling locations. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And I'll tell you, my polling place, and I have not voted yet. I was walking by because I was on the way here. Literally, I had polling workers say, please come in and vote. You know that's a bad sign.
There were more polling workers than voters.
Yeah, right? There were. In fact, they were like, please, please, Rita, come in and vote. You know it's a bad sign when they're begging you to come in and vote. And sadly, it may be historic low turnout. There was 1.1 million, by the way, 4 years ago on the mayoral race. And that was, remember, that was a kind of a heated one, too. So how sad. They're saying that it'll probably be less than a million this time.
Well, about 23% of the voters turned out the last time who could vote. So you figure a little less than a quarter of the registered voters. And that was to elect Comrade Bill de Blasio over then Republican candidate Joe Loda.
And by the way, I mean, you think about at that point, everybody, there was a lot more galvanizing in the city. And the fact that, as you point out, it was 23%, 24%, I think today is going to be sadly very low voter turnout. The other thing, too, the weather. You know, you get out there. I know I came out. I'm like, oh, it's cold. It's windy. It's rainy outside. That also has a big effect. But there are some big issues. I mean, look at the fact that the New York Daily News, which historically always endorses the Democratic candidate, did not endorse Mayor Bill de Blasio. So there's some big issues. So I do hope people out there, you get out and vote. It's important. Don't say after the fact, well, gosh, I wish I would have voted. You think about the presidential election. How many people, how many of my friends came over to me afterwards and said, oh, I wish I had voted one way or the other, whatever it is. Don't complain after the fact. Get out and vote.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I didn't just vote in Canarsie, my polling location at PS 114. I broke the law.
Yeah, I know. Curtis the criminal.
That's right. As I had done during the primary when I voted for Sal Albanese to be the Reform Party candidate to run for mayor, which he is in addition to Bo Dietl, Nicole Malliotakis, and obviously Comrade Bill de Blasio on today's ballot. But I walked into the polling location, and I was intent on defying the most recent ruling of a federal court judge, Judge Kevin Costell, who I know well. He sat in the last trial of John Gotti Jr., the fourth trial, in which Gotti Jr. was able to skate because of a statute of limitation issue on the charge of kidnapping and trying to kill me. So I know this judge well. And he upheld the constitutionality of a New York City Board of Elections policy barring taking selfies at
selfies
at city polling places. So if I determine to take a selfie of me voting on the paper ballot for the candidates that I choose, that is in violation of law.
So guess what I see first thing this morning? I get a message from you saying, hey, here I am. Here I am. So you've already broken the law once. So now let's take us to phase two, because you
all
continue,
you gotta do,
right?
All you got to do is just go to the Curtis Sliwa Show to go on to the Facebook, and you will see an act of total defiance in which I have taken a selfie. I'm wearing my glasses after I have filled out my ballot.
And by the way, you're telling us all who you voted. Not a surprise, but we saw who you voted for,
Straight Reform Party line.
Yep.
With Sal Albanese at the head of the ticket running for mayor. And then I was very proud to vote for the judicial group of Reform Party candidates led by John O'Hara against the corrupt Frank Setio Democratic machine. He's corrupt. I grew up with him. He was corrupt as a kid. He's more corrupt as an adult. And obviously the handpicked judges that normally would just be elected right across the board. We actually have a Reform Party slate if you're a resident in Kings County and haven't voted yet. But then I took the selfie. And sitting next to me was the police officer assigned, as they are, to every polling location to make sure there are no problems. Female police officer from the 69th precinct.
And what did she say?
And I said to her, I said, ma'am, you know, I'm breaking the law. And she looked at me and she said, okay, and when you're finished breaking the law, could I take a selfie with you before you leave the polling location?
Great enforcement there at the polling booth.
Right. So I am in defiance of the federal court judge. So, hey, Judge Cassell, if you want to issue a warrant to have me locked up, I've worn the silver bracelets many times before. This will be an arrest in which I will battle in on the principles. How crazy it is that you can't take a selfie of yourself voting in a polling location to be able to proudly say, hey, this is who I voted for. Hey, can anyone out there tell me what reason, if any, would exist why you shouldn't be able to take a selfie and why a federal judge would back the corrupt Board of Elections, which is so hopelessly inept here in the city, over its barring of anybody taking a selfie of their vote? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And it's obviously because, look, they want you to keep what you vote private. It's supposed to be private. And now here's the scary thing. Again, I have not voted yet today, Curtis, but when I voted, and I will vote because I'm like Santa Claus, rain, sleet, snow, I'm going to vote because I think it's a privilege to be able to vote in this country, and we have to vote. I really am a strong believer of that. But when I voted for the presidential election last year, I had a horrible experience. I remember going to my voting booth, and I saw that these women who were at the polling place, workers, were like, oh, you know who you want to vote for. They were actually like trying to guide me to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And I have never told anyone to this day who I have voted for. I'm a registered independent, and I believe I never tell anybody, nobody, who I have ever voted for, ever. But I couldn't believe that they were trying to guide me to a vote. That is totally illegal and totally improper, too. And I wonder if they're going to try to do that today.
Well, last time in Canarsie for the presidential election, they were trying to tell me that I couldn't write my own name in and vote for myself. Because I wasn't going to vote for the screwball or the crackpot, Trump. And I wasn't going to vote for the crook and the liar, Hillary. So I chose, after dabbling with the idea of the Libertarian Party candidate, who didn't know where Aleppo was or what Aleppo was in Syria.
Gary Johnson, right.
And then got spun around like a top on a number of other geopolitical issues. To me, it was just smoking too many ropes of dope. He was a real pothead because obviously he was for the legalization of recreational use of marijuana nationally.
Which, by the way, believe it or not, even though, you know, I've even said that I'm not a supporter of that. I don't agree with that. But that is a popular issue. And he was actually doing very well until he
Oh,
I don't know where Aleppo is or what Aleppo is. I mean,
well, across the Hudson River in the gubernatorial election today, Murphy is actually pro the recreational use of marijuana.
He said,
I'm going to get elected governor, we are going to have recreational use of marijuana and more expanded use of medical marijuana, because clearly Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, was forced because that was the final measure passed by Big Daddy Warbucks Corzine before he left the governorship, medical marijuana. But try to find medical marijuana in New Jersey.
Right.
You know, it's like searching for a needle in a haystack. And now, if Murphy gets elected, and the polls indicate he probably will in a landslide against Guadagno, There will be recreational use of marijuana legal in New Jersey. He estimates that they'll make about $300 million and put it into the treasury. And expanded use of medical marijuana, which is almost impossible to find anywhere in the state of New Jersey.
Well, and in addition to that, I also, on my show, on my Election Central show on Sunday, I had Kim Guadagno, who is the challenger. Of course, she's the current lieutenant governor, the GOP side. And she really went after Murphy on that and said, look, this is what the state is going to look like. It's going to look like recreational marijuana, and it's also going to look like, she used the phrase, sanctuary city, because he's alluded to being very supportive of immigrants and those who are illegal immigrants, also in terms of saying that there should be more cover for them, there should be more processes for them. And she has basically said, if you elect Phil Murphy, it's going to be a heyday for recreational marijuana, and it's going to be a heyday in terms of a sanctuary city. That's almost like the lead line, and we'll see if she'll be able to pull it out tonight. Right now, as you point out, Phil Murphy is very much ahead in the New Jersey
Problem
gubernatorial
that
race.
Lieutenant Governor Guadagno has is she's in the shadow of the whale.
That's exactly what it
Shamu.
Is. Yeah, and you know,
Chris
what
Christie.
Is so fascinating, Curtis? You look at the races right now in New Jersey. You got Kim Guadagno, a.k.a. Governor Christie. She's in the shadow of him. And that's basically all the ads from Phil Murphy are, do you want Chris Christie
again?
Well,
it shows you. Shows you, Rita Cosby, how hated, how loathed, how despised Chris Christie is as he spends the last few days in office. It's difficult to find anybody in New Jersey who has a positive thing to say about the time that he's been governor of the state of New Jersey.
Well, and that's why it's been so easy for Phil Murphy on the other side, because all he has to say is, do you want Chris Christie again? And he's been right there. Of course, she's been his number two for so many years. And it's such an interesting time, even in New York. I mean, you look at de Blasio, hasn't really been running so much against Nicole Malliotakis or Beau Deal or the others. He's basically just saying Trump, 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 Trump,
yep.
Trump.
Yep.
I mean, talk about a fascinating time. It's basically Murphy versus Christie and de Blasio versus Trump.
If I were the former ambassador to Germany, Murphy, by the way, it was always like half in the bag. He likes vodka, and he likes to drink it straight.
The German kind.
Yeah, former czar of gold mine Sachs that he is. I would just say, oh, Kim Christie Guadagno.
And that's basically every word. So the question is this going to be a sign of basically what's to come, too, in the future, too, as well? Is that what every candidate's just going to have to do, is say Trump or Christie or whoever it is in their state?
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. When we come back, I want to tell you how easy it is to cheat when you go to vote.
Because, you know, about cheating.
Oh, yeah, because I almost pulled it off today, and it was so easy to do. And it has to do with people whose names are on the rolls, the voting rolls, who shouldn't be there, should have been removed a long time ago. But there is no effort on anybody's parts to eliminate the potentiality of cheating at the polling locations. And I'll explain to you how easy it was for me to do. But anyway, let's go to John in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. John?
Curtis and Rita. Listen, I got to work, but I'm definitely going. Actually, I told you, call screen, I was going to probably get there about 7, but I'm getting there before 5 because I want to make sure my vote goes in. When you have de Blasio make the most stupidest comment saying nobody worries about corruption. Oh, nobody cares about that. Are you crazy? You're going to tell me his friends are making $1 million and I have to bust my butt for $40,000 and worry about my taxes into the city?
So now, let me ask you, John, how come more voters are not as passionate as you are? Because the history that could be broken today is historic low voting. How come others are not as galvanized as you are?
Because people work and steal our tax dollars by these corrupt politicians. If I didn't have to work, I'd go vote right away. But the people who are not voting are going to work. So make sure when you're done with work, get to the polls and vote.
But John, let me tell you something, though. The voting thing, when people say that, the polls are open till 9 o'clock. I mean, you can't necessarily say it's voting, that it's the working time.
You know, you can make voting so much easier than they do now. It's so arcane with early voting, you know, weeks in advance, alternative methods of voting. We transfer billions of dollars on iPhones and smartphones every day, and they won't permit you to vote from your iPhone or your cell phone, because they say, oh, you know, it could be breached. You're sending money all day long, like that can't be breached?
Right. There's got to be some easier way. The other thing is absentee ballot, too. It's such a hassle. I mean, there have been times where it's like, you know, if I was traveling or something and, oh, my God, you got to fill out this paperwork. It has to make it more simple, more direct. And I look, I love the passion of John who just called, because so many people sit there. And I, you know, even on my cab driver said, oh, I don't know if I asked him, are you going to vote today? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to vote today. Well, then don't complain about
it. Well, Ahmed is probably not even legal.
Well, Ahmed said he was. I did ask him, by the way.
I'll explain.
Ahmed said he
was. I'll explain when we come back how easy it can be to vote, particularly in certain municipal elections.
Scary story.
Where you don't have to prove that you're not illegal. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC. So let me tell you how easy it is to get over on your local board of elections. Not in all places, because there are different rules, but definitely within the five boroughs of the city of New York. First off, you do not have to prove that you are an American citizen. When you register to vote, all they want to do is see a bill that you received recently from either the telephone company like Verizon or from a utility, just to prove place of residence. Now, there is a part that you got to check off that says, you know, if you're lying to us, this is a federal crime. You could go to jail.
But who checks that?
Exactly.
Come on, you're kidding me.
So I go to vote at PS 114 as Curtis Sliwa, and I vote. Reform Party slate, which I hope everybody will do out there. Sal Albanese for the mayoral candidate, and then right on down the line. Then I decide, let me go check on my mom and dad's house and pick up the mail there, you know, do a little maintenance in the area. I do that because it's just a few blocks away from PS 114. I come back an hour later. I'm in my red beret, my red sateen jacket. The old Altacacas are still sitting at the table.
Same people.
In which I have voted. And it's amazing because I then pretend to be Chester Sliwa, my departed father.
Wait, now, do you go to the exact same poll worker or a different one?
There were two poll workers there.
But it's not like a big crowd.
No, but they're Altacacas. You know, they can basically barely see through their bifocals. You know, they're like drooling as they're sitting there processing the ballots. And I say, I'm Chester Sliwa, I'm here to vote. And so they start looking through the logs and they say, finally they find the name Chester Sliwa and the signature. And they say, boy, you haven't voted in a while. I said, yeah, I've been away for quite some time.
Yeah.
In the hereafter.
Right, in the 6 feet under.
So they're prepared to have me sign. And that's when I say, that's my father.
Wait, no, they didn't even obviously recognize you. Here you are with the red beret, exact same outfit.
These are Altacacas. I don't think they could recognize their own children or grandchildren any longer. These are the kind of people who work for the Board of Elections.
What is so scary, Curtis, is it's the exact same place, same poll workers, same outfit.
Right.
That's
now,
frightening.
Now, the other thing is, I said, can you check to see if my mother's name is in there? Because she recently passed, Frances Sliwa.
Right.
They dutifully check. She's
God rest her soul, beautiful woman.
Right, but yep. Think about how many people, dead people, are still on the rolls.
Well, and that was the big case that happened last time, and even in the presidential election. Remember how many allegations that came up of so many, and they claim, remember, there was a suit that was actually settled not too long ago with the Board of Ed here in New York City, and they said, oh no, it was resolved before 2016, not a problem, even though we just paid it recently, it was resolved. This is proof positive that it still exists, and I'm not surprised.
And there is suggestion that there will be federal legislation that will require all states to have citizens show proof of citizenship to register to vote.
It seems pretty basic.
And there's no reason why you shouldn't have to show your ID when you show up at a polling location to prove that, in fact, you are the person.
Well, now they claim, of course, the Democrats will say, on the other hand, that what the issue is that they feel that it is, you know, over the line, that it unfairly stigmatizes those who are immigrants, those who have language issues, those who don't know how to get IDs.
They all have IDs.
But that's what they say. And that's why so many in the Democratic Party have said that it's unfair. Look, Nicole Malliotakis, of course, who is running against Mayor Bill de Blasio, has made one of her issues of saving all the identifications. And she's also talking for criminal issues. Should there be some arrest or should there be? He said, no, we're discarding it all. That's what it comes down to. And I agree. If you vote, you should absolutely absolutely be an American citizen. Come on, why is there a debate?
Let's go to Vinny calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Vincenzo.
Hey, how are you, Curtis and Rita? How's everything?
Good.
The general consensus around here is, my dad always told me growing up, if you don't vote, you don't have a say. But between both of them, I don't know, should I vote, should I not vote? I can't stand either one of them. I don't think any of them have anything positive to add to the state. So what does somebody do?
Well, then that's where, by the way, Vinny, there's more than two candidates. There's a number of them on the ballot.
You mean for governor of New Jersey? Isn't that what you're
talking
to?
New Jersey, or are you talking
mayor? No, he's referring to New Jersey.
Oh, he's talking New Jersey. Okay, sorry, Vin. Yeah, you got two. So then that's what you do. You hold your nose, and you vote for the lesser of two evils, then, in that case, if that's how you feel.
Well, there are other candidates. They're minor party candidates. Like, I'm the chairman of the New York State Reform Party. That's a minor party compared to the Democrats or Republicans. Or, Vinny, you could do what I did, which is the last time in the presidential election. I didn't like the crackpot, screwball Trump, or the liar and the prevaricator Hillary, so I voted for myself. Yeah, you write yourself in. But don't give up that opportunity to vote.
Absolutely. Vote for whoever you feel like, but absolutely get out, because you can't sit and complain afterwards. And look, if it's not ideal, again, do a write-in or pick the lesser of the two, whichever you feel.
Right now, let's get our news headlines and updates. So from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
My rolly don't tick tock, it just glide. Keep staring at it and you might go blind. I be moving clean, I don't even try.
A-O-A-T-O.
All I see is bears, bears.
Singing about Rolex watches.
Yeah, that way. I need that move.
Which, Rita Cosby, I know you have an eye for fine quality items.
I absolutely do. I have a Rolex. I have a Rolex toe ring. Is that okay?
A Rolex toe ring.
<I'm just kidding. laughs>
But anyway, your normal Rolex, you go for about 10 Gs.
Yeah, it depends on the Rolex, by the way. I mean, some of them go even bigger. I've seen some pretty hefty Rolexes that, like, weigh your arm down, you know?
Or if you buy a Rolodex, as I call it, you can get that in Little Nairobi. That's where all the street vendors will sell you knockoff items down on 23rd and Broadway.
For $15, and they look probably just as good as the real ones.
But the race for the Westchester County Executive, which is almost a dead heat, all the polls indicate almost a dead heat, between Rob Astorino, the Republican and conservative, guy who ran against Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Facha Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, in the last gubernatorial run. He's being challenged by the Democratic State Senator George Latimer. And I got to tell you, it may come down to this controversy involving whether Rob Astorino bought the Rolex watch by himself, lone self. He says he only paid $1,500. He has the receipt from the Diamond Exchange. And Reichnich, who is the federal witness in the Norman Seabrook case, in which he has testified that he gave Norman Seabrook $60,000 to stick in his Ferragamo bag as a payoff for his investment in this shaky-wakey hedge fund.
Reichnich likes these brands, it seems.
Right.
You know?
The pension money of his correctional department union members at the time. But Reichnich testified that not only had he given Rob Astorino $25,000, 15 of his, 10 of his buddy Reichberg, to become clergy members for the Westchester County Police, even though they're not clergy, they're not rabbis,
well, it's a
and
clergy,
they don't live in Westchester.
It's that clergy pass, so
yes.
You can sort of get parking, you can get, you know, perks, if you will, and of course, he's not a clergy member.
You're a big macher then.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You say, I'm clergy.
Exactly.
You imagine if you just go to Scarsdale alone, you could fill up four tourist buses with rabbis, because every second Jewish guy is a rabbi,
yeah,
right?
And
who
parking.
Could qualify?
The big perk is also parking, too, because it was a placard that you can put in and say, basically, look, I can get certain parking, I can get certain privileges. And in New York, that is, who wouldn't want a clergy pass or a free parking pass, basically,
so,
wherever you go?
So Rob Astorino has not answered that question, why you would take $25,000 from guys who aren't even clergy and don't even live in Westchester County. We know what that is. It's pay for play. But on the Rolex watch, he is adamant. He paid for $1,500.
Yep, and in fact, he released a receipt, actually. It's $1,960 in a receipt that he claims covered the watch's full price. He said the price of the watch, and in fairness to Rob Astorino, he says that he agreed to pay $1,000 to $2,000, and if the watch was $1,960, which maybe he got a good deal, or who knows the circumstances of it, or what kind of Rolex, they're ranging all over the place. I have seen a Rolex. I know what Rolexes are. I know many people who have Rolexes. They could range in price. That's a pretty cheap Rolex. But he claims that he paid for it in full and says that this is just hogwash coming from a guy who he says is a liar.
Reichnitz says he paid the differential, which came to about $8,000 total.
So, which is why we should be able to see if indeed it is. And if it was $1,960 and legitimately that's the price, then Rob is correct.
Well, on the flip side, George Latimer, who I've endorsed, I've given the Reform Party line with our state committee, he's got mud on his side, apparently went to London with his gumada.
Yes.
Took a business trip, and also is guilty of not paying property taxes on a house that I think his former wife still owns.
And not registering some of his cars,
right,
too. Now, how do you feel about that? You know, come on, you endorsed
him. Oh, compared to, yeah, to both? Oh, definitely go with George Latimer, because Astorino was a guy who pretended to be a reformer for years, wants to run for governor again. If he loses this Westchester County race in what is considered a neck-and-neck race, and that's why you got to get out in Westchester County and vote.
Which is surprising that it's so close, because here it is, Rob Astorino, who's an incumbent, well-known, as you pointed out. He did go up against the governor. He gave Governor Cuomo a decent run for his money in the last race. You know, he was really, you know, leaps and bounds behind him, and then he came out. He had a decent turnout. But the fact that it is this tight is a big concern for Rob Astorino.
Well, our numbers, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And then there's the other big issue. And boy, did Bernard McGurk bamboozle Sid Rosenberg this morning on their program that you can listen to from 9 to 12. They were talking about the constitutional proposition. That's ballot one initiative.
Yep, there's three.
You have to turn over your paper ballot in order to see all three. I voted yes on all three, but the main one is Proposition 1, which is to allow for a constitutional convention to take place. And I voted yes because it's the only way we're going to resolve the corruption in the state of New York that has made us the most corrupt state now in the nation, both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republicans. So here's Bernard. Sid is ready to vote yes. And Bernard on the air, in typical Irish fashion, because some have referred to it as Irish welfare. I have not said that. Others have said that. But the pension system that so many cops or firefighters or others insist will be threatened if there's a constitutional convention.
Well, that's why the unions are against it, too, because all the New York unions, a lot of them have come out and said that they don't want it. But why would you be afraid to have the system under the microscope? Because that's basically what it's saying.
Well, let's face it. The unions have power in Albany. They wine, dine, pocket line the politicos, both sides of the aisle. So they want to keep the status quo. But there isn't a person who has promoted a yes vote, which I'm one of many, that has suggested that we need to alter, curtail, change the pension plan. If you've been guaranteed a pension, you're entitled to it. It's constitutionally protected.
The only thing that will change it is the number two on the ballot. Because remember, there's these three propositions. There's three ballot items that people have. And the second one actually says that you will cut off pensions for those who've been convicted of a felony. Why is that even an issue?
Although,
I mean, to me, come on, that's the Sheldon Silver, all that stuff.
No, that will not affect Alan Hevesy, Sheldon Silver, the Meyer Lansky of Democratic politics, or Dean the Greek Skellos, the former Republican majority leader with his no-show job son, Adam. Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jack calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here.
Hi, Jack.
How you doing, Rita? Hi, Curtis. Vote no on Prop 1.
Now, why no?
Why? Because it's like the wolf guarding the hen house. Let me tell you, that it'll cost about $200 million.
No, it's $50 million. $50 million.
No, that's baloney. All right. Well, we'll go halfway. We'll split the difference. We'll split the difference. $100 million.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is, Jack, why would we be afraid of having sunlight on the process?
Because who's appointing these delegates? Who's appointing the delegates?
No, we the people.
The same people.
Jack. we elect the delegates, three per assemblymanic district. Oh, so if there's a yes vote today, if it prevails, then the next time there's an election, you get a chance to vote for delegates.
I understand that. I understand that, Curtis. But in the last 100 years, there's been 200 amendments passed, and only six came from a constitutional convention. So to me, it's a waste of money. You could put your complaints before the legislature.
Oh, Jack! Wait a second.
Let's just deal with that.
I know your deal, Curtis.
You're just an anti-union guy.
Oh, I'm an anti-union guy.
You're disappointed. You're a disappointed cop, and you're an anti-union.
I'm a disappointed cop.
You are.
I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA. You jerk.
You are.
I'm a union member. You jackass.
Please, you scammed your whole life.
Where was that? I scammed my whole life?
You got a bunch of urban kids. You got a bunch of urban kids to play superhero, following in your little red suit.
Look at the bile pour out of your mouth, Jack. And by the way, what union are you a member of, Jack?
I'm not a union member.
You're a liar. You're a liar because it's your union chiefs that are promoting this out of fear, fright, hysteria, and hype to think that your pensions are going to be taken.
You hate unions.
I'm a member of a union, so I guess I'm a self-hating person.
You should be in good standing.
Wait a second, Jack. Whatever your union leader tells you to do, you have to buck, bow, and fold like a camera too, right?
Never did it. Just like you.
I thought you said you're not a member of a union.
Never stood down, bro.
Oh, you're not a member of a union,
No, I'm not a member of a union.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact,
you're so full of bull feathers.
Let's go to Dan from Brooklyn. You led into that one. Let's go to Dan from Brooklyn here on 77 WABC with Rita and Curtis. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Prop 1's a good idea, but not with these corrupt morons in there. You know, Andrew Cuomo is going to tell you that driving's a privilege. He's probably going to tell you that working's a privilege. You have a bunch of corrupt monsters in there rearranging the Constitution.
Why would you vote no?
Hold on a second. Dan, are you aware that Andrew Cuomo has said he's voting no?
I don't care. All I know is if you have these people like Chuck E. Cheese Schumer and Gillibrand.
He's voting no. Gillibrand is voting no.
Yeah, they just changed their mind, in fact, because remember, originally he was saying that he was voting yes. Now he is voting no, Dan.
Yeah, so Dan, the very people you've mentioned are actually supporting you and voting no. Curtis Sliwa is voting yes because it's the only way to give a badly needed colonic to the most corrupt political system in America.
They're going to depend
on the legislature to clean up their own mess.
Well, that's the point. They're saying, let's go to the legislature. Let's just keep the whole process. Why not give it a shot? That's my point. Why not give it a shot?
1-800-848-WABC. Rita Cosby in the house. Let's go to Billy on the Turnpike. Welcome to WABC, Billy.
Hey, Rita. Hey, Curtis. Thank you for taking my call. I do live in Staten Island, by the way, and I will be voting on the proposition after listening to you, Sid, and everybody else talk about it. And my reason is Cuomo is for it.
Oh, wait a minute. You got to have a better reason than that.
You mean because Cuomo is voting no.
Right. Exactly. Because he's voting no, you're going to go the opposite.
Absolutely. That's all I need.
Yeah. And remember, Cuomo had the Moreland Commission that he impaneled to investigate corruption in Albany. And when the Progresso breadcrumbs came too close to the governor's office, remember?
He disbanded it.
He slammed it shut. He's got nine guys on trial in January, led by his leg breaker, his former wartime consigliere, Pococo, who shook down and extorted money from energy providers in the western part of New York as part of the Buffalo Billions ripoff that cost us gazillions of dollars as taxpayers. And you're absolutely right, Billy. That's why you got to go out and vote yes on Proposition 1.
And he flipped on this because, remember, at first it looked like he was going to go for it, and then he just changed in the last 24, 48 hours.
That's typical of Cuomo.
The old flip-flopper.
He vacillates all the time. And most importantly, when you do vote in New York State, the ballot initiatives are on the back.
They made it difficult. I don't agree with that at all. It should be right there in the front. It's a biggie.
The Board of Election always makes things difficult because they don't want people to vote. They just want to get paid.
They want the ones on the dead roster.
Right. That's a shanda. Un disgracia.
Curtis Sliwa. Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa?
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Prepare yourself, you know what you must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. Won't recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
7 minutes after the hour one, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, great facilities provided for us to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And our political director, Rita Cosby, that you can normally hear every Sunday morning at 6. And then so nice, the suits let you hear her twice as she comes back at 11, in which she has a star-studded variety of guests of all types. Normally ends up making the news in the coming days, the following days, Monday and Tuesday, and you'll be anchoring our election night coverage that deals with all the elections in New Jersey and New York.
And guess what? I have a good star lined up already for this weekend show. For one of them, we got Curtis Sliwa. We got you in the house. You're going to be talking about your documentary.
That's right, Vigilante.
With the big screening. I can't wait on Sunday night. I'm so proud of you. I love your life story, and I'm so excited to see the doc.
In fact, we got to get it posted because it will debut here in New York City at the Doc Film Festival, which is where many, many documentaries are shown Sunday night and then Wednesday afternoon. So if people are interested, you can certainly get that information.
And I love the trailer, by the way. You sent me the trailer. The trailer is kick-ass. It is so great, and it's rocking. And I'm I've known you for many, many years, but it's neat because I'm learning a lot more of different things about you and the history of the Guardian Angels and just you personally. So,
well, thank you, Rita.
So I cannot wait to watch the doc. I'm thrilled.
So anyway, here it is, Tuesday's front page, Daily News. Toddler among 26 murdered at church. Psychopath broke his baby's skull, beat his wife, beat his dog, threatened his family, was booted from the military and Air Force, but it was their blunder that let him purchase a deadly arsenal to slaughter dozens, and then they have it capped off in all capital letters. Insane.
Yeah, this is amazing that the Air Force is actually conceding. And, you know, I've covered the military a long time, based in Washington. You know, I was at the Pentagon quite a bit. The fact that the Air Force so quickly, it's so blatant that they screwed up. They admit that they didn't tell the FBI in their big federal database that this guy had, you know, the court martial, that he actually served time, that he clearly, here it is, you're talking about the steps, and this is his baby. And I want to read this line to Curtis, too, because they're basically, as you talk out, he said that as a result of the beating that he gave his stepson, the baby suffered a subdural hematoma, and a fractured skull. I mean, this is serious stuff, and the fact the guy was actually legally able to buy weapons because of the screw-up. Shame on the Air Force.
And remember, there are studies after studies, Rita Cosby, that indicate if you are an animal abuser, the next level is you're going to be abusing all kinds of humans.
Yeah,
from children to the elderly
killers.
To your peer group.
Yeah, all these crazy serial killers.
Domestic situations. This is what he did. He had called for his brown and white dog to come to him, and neighbors are watching.
This is heartbreaking.
The dog would not run over to him. Obviously, you know why. So he decides, I'm going to get that dog. He runs over to it, tackles it, holds it down with his knees, punches it five or more times. The dog gets up to run away. Then Kelly catches up with it. He picks it up, throws it to the ground, and drags it by the neck back into the house and continues to beat the dog into total submission.
Now, I love dogs. I grew up with dogs in my families my whole life, and I can tell you it breaks my heart. It's gut-wrenching to hear this.
Yeah, but it just shows you a pattern. And in fact, it was that very statement that was made the day before by the president when he was talking about this being a case of mental illness, not as a result of misuse of guns.
I think that mental health is
your problem here. This was a very, based on preliminary reports, very deranged individual. A lot of problems over a long period of time. We have a lot of mental health problems in our country, as do other countries. But this isn't a guns situation. I mean, we could go into it, but it's a little bit soon to go into it. But fortunately, somebody else had a gun that was shooting in the opposite direction. Otherwise, it would have been as bad as it was. It would have been much worse.
And so, then earlier today in Seoul, the president, before sitting down for a series of meetings with South Korean leaders, had this to say about the shooting.
You know, you're bringing up a situation that probably shouldn't be discussed too much right now. We could let a little time go by, but it's okay if you feel that that's an appropriate question, even though we're the heart of South Korea. I will certainly answer your question. If you did what you're suggesting, there would have been no difference 3 days ago, and you might not have had that very brave person who happened to have a gun or a rifle in his truck go out and shoot him and hit him and neutralize him. And I can only say this, if he didn't have a gun, instead of having 26 dead, he would have had hundreds more dead. So that's the way I feel about it.
By the way, I like hearing the president talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He neutralized him as opposed to he's dead.
Well, he was talking about extreme vetting, that extreme vetting would not have helped in this situation.
No, it wouldn't. And it's interesting that the president right away, and I want to hear what everybody else thinks. Do you think it's a mental health problem or do you think it's a gun problem? The number is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222, because I think the president's right. I mean, look, this guy clearly was a domestic case. We're also hearing that he was also targeting his mother-in-law, that he had issues with his mother-in-law, and that's why he went to the church. And look at this, you know, the case. It's so complicated, the gun issue, Curtis, because I've spent a lot of time in rural America and a lot of these small towns like this place. I have not been here, but in many places like this in Texas, and you know that too, you guys in the Guardian Angels. And you go there and, you know, what for the sake of these guys, the neighbor and this other guy who had the gun, who knows what kind of further carnage this guy would have created.
But the fact is that the carnage was created by this crazy who had access to a weapon of war.
Yeah, which is unbelievable that he actually, here is a guy, and you look at this track record. I mean, that's what's so staggering, that you look at this track record of this guy. You talk about the dog. You talk about the issue with the stepson. You talk about the issue with the wife. This guy had... How much more do you need to say, do not give this guy guns and watch out for this guy? He was a ticking time bomb.
And remember, he accommodated all the rules. Although, in a state like Texas, it would have been very easy to go to a gun swap show.
That's what I was about to say.
And purchase a gun without going through extreme vetting process or the Brady Law. Friends sell guns to one another. There's no Brady Law involved in that. So this whole idea, this whole concept that, oh, yeah, we could have stopped him if the Air Force had indicated correctly what his indiscretion was that caused him to be court-martialed and washed out of the Air Force, which would have precluded him from ever owning firearms. Well, he could have gotten the firearms by other means.
Well, that's why there needs to be a much better system, I think, all the way around. Because as you point out, these gun shows, people like, you go back to like even Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh bought his gun at a gun show. A lot of these people go to these gun shows. You know, I've been to the gun shows. I've been there. I haven't purchased a gun there, but I've been to the gun shows. And it's sort of, here you go. It's free for all. So there does need to be a much better system. And here, there were so many warning signs with this guy. We missed the mark, and the Air Force missed the mark in so many ways.
Let's go to Sergeant Dan, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Sarge.
Hey, Curtis. Hello, Rita. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. You're calling from my beloved Brooklyn. Go ahead.
Hey, Curtis, number one, keep the fight up with the crones. It's a daily battle. I feel for you, brother.
Thank you.
Lots of luck on your film. Listen, this is the same old argument with gun control. I have many guns. I'm an NRA member. Gun control is only for the people who follow the rules. Okay, he would have gotten a gun regardless, whichever way he wanted. The guy was a loony bin, so Trump is 100% right about it. the gun shows you can tighten them up. I have no problem with, you know, they should absolutely be doing psychological background checks on people.
Yeah, and why do you think we are not, Dan? Because the fact that this guy, I think anybody who probably would have met him based on this history would have realized the guy's a loon.
But I think what they were saying, from what I'm reading, he wasn't dishonorably discharged from the military. He was out on a bad conduct, which allowed him to still be able to get a weapon.
But he was court-martialed, which is a serious issue, and a lot of it was tied to domestic abuse.
Was he? Well, the domestic abuse should have knocked him out immediately.
Yes.
Off of getting a gun. So that's got to be tightened up. Domestic abuse, any kind of arrest in your background, anything like that, you can't produce proper ID. You don't get a gun.
And I agree. I agree. And you know what's so sick, Dan, too, is the fact that this kid also, you know, here he is. He pushed a kid. I mean, this wasn't just like, okay, well, maybe he did something that's sort of gray. I mean, the kid had a hematoma and a fractured skull. There's no gray here, Curtis.
In fact, if you go to the Curtis Sliwa Facebook page, the Curtis Sliwa Show, you can see the history of his animal abuse that led up to his abuse of humans, and then obviously to the carnage that he wreaked in that small Baptist church this past Sunday. Anyway, let's go to Tom, who's calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here, Tommy.
Oh, thanks for picking up the call. I just wanted to say, let me turn down my radio. I love Curtis. He's my idol, actually. And I'm a school counselor, marriage and family therapist. And I just want to say there's a lot of sick people in America, but if he didn't have the chance to get the gun, what was he going to do, poke him with his finger to death or karate chop him to death? See, so we can't stop it. But if there were no guns, he'd have a harder time killing 26 people, even though he's sick.
Yeah, the problem is, Tom, that there are so many guns out there. So
yeah, right.
How do we control it? I mean, that is the issue. It's, you know, I'll tell you an interesting story. I had lunch yesterday with a guy from England, and he was telling me how in England they did this big sort of, you know, corral. Let's get hand in all the guns, sort of a gun, you know, a gun, no charge. We won't, you know, even if you got it illegally, we won't, you know, fine you. We won't do this. And everybody, he said there was an enormous response of people who illegally had the guns who handed it in. The problem is in America, we have so many guns. So the bad guys, as Curtis was saying, you know, it's the good guys who kind of, you know how to fill the system. It's the bad guys who know how to work around it and get it somewhere.
The other thing is that once a gun is manufactured, as we have seen from the Civil War era to the World War I era, the World War II era, they don't self-destruct. It's sort of like a plastic bag that gets stuck in a landfill.
Well, you can melt them. There are some of these things you can do, you know. But
the gun is still usable. So yeah. If it's in somebody's cabinet, if it's stored away in somebody's house and there's a home invasion and the thugs grab all the valuables and the guns, then they enter into the black market system. Never mind the straw purchases that you can make once you go south of the Mason-Dixon line and just come back with a trunk full of weapons and start selling them in the streets.
I think the solution is, Curtis, is that there should be much more stiffer penalties for those who have a gun, and especially if it's deemed to be illegal, but especially if you do a crime with a gun, because pulling them off is very difficult, but you can make it much more strict sentences and much more strict punishments, so the fear of God is in people if they get caught with it.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Rita Cosby in the house today and tomorrow. Let's go to Gail, who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to WABC, Gail.
Hey, Curtis. Listen, I love the duo, by the way. Great.
Oh, well, thank you.
Man, this is awesome. So, a few things. I want to know why nobody called the police on this dirtbag when he was abusing the animal, because such detail, they were watching. So then he brings them back in the house. Why then did anybody not call the police?
Well, actually, Gail, they were nosy neighbors. They did call. The authorities came. They found the dog undernourished and took it to a vet. Meantime, this jerk, Kelly, claimed that he was trying to restrain the dog from acting aggressively. Kelly received a deferred probationary sentence, paid fines totaling $450, and the charges were dismissed.
It's sort of the typical story of the system, Gail.
Let me tell you something. I am a victim of domestic violence, and what I did is I had my animals put in my order of protection. And as far as stopping guns? Hell no. I am so glad that they rained on this dirtbag. You know, yes, he has a mental problem, but when you do a when you beat up a baby and a mother, right then and there, this guy should have been in jail for years.
Well, and you know the problem is, Gail, and you, as you talk about with your own case, what happened in your case, Gail?
Simple. I put him out, got two orders of protection. One, I let him back in, and he started all over again. Got my second one, and the animals were in it each time, and, you know, that was it. And then, you know, I got upset because the judge starts reading, you know, well, if the dog happens to attack, you know, the dirtbag, well, you know, then, you know, he has the right to defend himself. And I said, that's disgusting. No animal's going to go after him because he's the bully and he went after the animals. My animal actually bit my ex because he was attacking me. He bit him on the leg and he's a Pomeranian. Is that not awesome?
Yeah, yep. By the way, kudos to your dog. Yep, love that.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Anyway, let's go to Howie, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Howie.
Hey, how you doing? Before I make my comment, I want to say that, Rita, you signed your book, Quiet Hero, for me in Gettysburg about 7 years ago, and it was a wonderful book. I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we're reconnecting again, Howie. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm a retired police detective. I'm also a military veteran, and I just wanted to say that New Jersey, even though I'm a conservative, even though I'm a Republican, New Jersey takes firearms seriously, and New Jersey takes domestic violence seriously. And I think that other states in the country should kind of take an example from New Jersey and kind of step it up and be a little more vigilant.
Yeah, and listen, now you, as a retired cop, do you see sort of this revolving door? Because I can't tell you how many times, like, I've covered cases where somebody has a track record, and yet they're out. They get out. You know, it's like, okay, you know, how many times? I mean, I covered a story, I'll never forget, years ago, of a woman who was in witness protection program, and her husband still gets out, and sadly, he actually killed her. I mean, it is shocking. Yeah. Just the latitude and the broken system, and this guy just epitomizes it.
Mm-hmm. The other problem, too, is a lot of times, it's hard, too, because a lot of times in domestic violence, the victims they drop restraining orders or they take the person back. I don't know if it's because they're afraid or whatever the case is.
No, you're right. There's that issue, too. But in this case here, look, he even, you know, hurt the child, hurt the animal. I mean, the writing was on the wall, Howie.
But also a split personality, because remember, even though he is a self-described atheist, he was a Bible studies teacher at a different Baptist church in which he met his now wife, who was a Bible teacher herself.
Well, that's what's so scary about these cases. And I think, Curtis, also about Las Vegas, too, because here is the guy in Las Vegas, and people who knew him said, oh, he was a nice guy. You know, I talked to somebody who was actually knew someone who went out to dinner with him a few days before. And he was like, oh, he was, you know, seemed normal, seemed fine. And then, as we know, what he did. And that's what's so difficult about these mental health problems, but there has to be better screening.
Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
I've had better days.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Chris. What do you think?
I'm from Long Island, and I've gone to gun shows in New York, and it's an impossibility to buy a gun at a gun show without going through a NICS check.
And by the way, there are a lot of gun shows that do that, but not all of them.
No, and in fact, Chris, you're talking New York, you're correct. California, correct. Nevada, where there's crazy unloaded on hundreds, there is none. You can walk into a gun show, purchase guns without a check.
You're jumping me before I had a chance to finish. In New York, you can't do it. But the private sale that happens out in the parking lot is a different story. You can go into the gun show. You can shop around. Somebody says, I'm looking at, for the sake of argument, a 30-30 lever action. And I particularly wanted a particular kind. And, hey, look, I've got one in my car. If you want to come take a look at it, that's private sale. I'm outside the gun show. I'm in the parking lot. Completely different.
Right, but it's still sort of weaving in and out, you know, and in some of these other states, it is not as strict. And Curtis is correct. I mean, I have been at gun shows where it's a lot looser.
Flea markets in some states.
Yeah, no, basically, you're right.
I mean, flea markets.
Right, it's frightening. And there needs to be some solution to it. And listen, I am all for the Second Amendment. I'm not one of these anti-Second Amendment folks by any means. But the fact that there has to, I just think it comes down to better systems, better checks. And if there's any issue with mental illness, it needs to be reviewed. There can't be any gray area here.
On that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
It must be like
This is the top song in Mother Russia, and you better get up and dance when you hear it, because if Vladimir Putin or any of his sycophants, toadies, and lackeys sees that you're not even toe-tapping, it's two bullets to your back of your head. And once again, Rita Cosby, more news on Russian connections with people who have worked with Donald Trump and his campaign. The latest being Carter Page, who has always acknowledged that he had a lot of contacts in Russia, saying that at a congressional hearing that was closed doors, that, oh, yeah, yeah, I did sit. I did urge the president at that time, Citizen Trump, that I could arrange a meeting between him and Vladimir Putin. But listen to what he said back in April.
No Russian official. I was speaking at a university. And I spoke with many scholars and students and parents that were at the graduation celebrating their kids' achievements. Other than that, nothing.
Nothing. Back in April, now all of a sudden, he's like a waterfall of information about all of his Russian connections.
But what's interesting, he's not a waterfall, just willingly a waterfall, because according to, and again, it's closed door, but according to the Connecticut Democrat Jim Hines, he says that Page first denied meeting senior Russian officials, and it wasn't until Democrat Adam Schiff, who you see all over TV, all over the place, confronted him with an email that he said, well, actually, I did have these particular meetings, and so-and-so was there.
So we have now Papadopoulos, who...
I love the name, by the way.
Oh, yeah, but...
I'd like two Papadopoulos and a slide of fries.
Right, but when he got indicted by Mueller's special investigation before grand jury in Washington, D.C., I had a good belly laugh at how some of the Trump supporters were calling him a coffee boy. All he would be doing is fetching coffee. Meantime, not realizing this guy was meeting with Mueller and his staff in the beginning of the summer, copped a plea to them, said, you got me. I lied to the FBI. Okay, I don't want to go to jail. And you know what they told him. We're going to wire you up like a Christmas tree. And he's been recording conversations of people who have worked with Donald Trump during the campaign ever since. You would think that would make them suddenly like, hey, man, you really don't want to pull this guy's tail. Because he's probably still in cooperation mode and giving more information to the feds. And if all of a sudden I call him coffee boy or something pejorative, he may suddenly turn on me, whether he's lying about me or he's telling the truth. And now we have Jeff Sessions, who both Republicans and Democrats are pissed off at, because he can't seem to recollect anything when it comes to Russian contacts, meetings with Russians, or any knowledge about Russia. So here was the senior queen herself of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, saying, hey, our former colleague Jeff Sessions, we want you to come back. We got more questions for you.
It seems to me that Senator Franken has been very good in outlining the various instances where there was more than one contact on behalf of Sessions. Now, whether he remembers it or not does not mean that it didn't happen. And I think some of that needs to be developed further. They certainly don't want him to tell us things that aren't true. And maybe he has a faulty memory. So there are a lot of excuses one can make. But at this stage, he's got to narrow his recollections. And when he comes before the committee again, he has to be precise and it has to be accurate.
He needs somebody to nourish his recollections. Like, remember, former President Bill Clinton sat his secretary down, Betty Curie, and says, I need to nourish your memory about Monica Lewinsky. Remember when the cat socks was right there, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, my gosh, I was covering all that memory lane, Curtis.
What do you think it is about Jeff Sessions? Because there's been a report that a doctor from the Walter Reed Army Hospital assigned to the Senate, you know, because he's got to make sure that all the men and women's faculties are okay, has been giving many prescriptions of late to the older members who are showing the signs of, like, the first levels of dementia.
I just think Jeff Sessions, and I've interviewed and met Jeff Sessions. I've known him for many years. I just think he's being pulled in every single different direction. Because remember, Trump was not happy that he recused himself. And that's what led the way to all of these investigations that created the opening. You know, and of course, you know, people will argue that it was the Comey firing and the way that it went after him. But there's so many issues here. And I think Jeff Sessions just kind of doesn't know what to say. And which he's got so many people hammering him from every different direction. It's like a golf swing. If somebody tells you too many different things, you can't swing.
But it seems like on almost every occasion, he's cold busted. He can't seem to remember meetings with Kislyak.
Although, you know, come on. I mean, in fairness to Jeff Sessions, he's sitting there. One of the meetings that they said was some meeting was him running into him at a cocktail party. I've been to so many cocktail parties where you run into someone half the time. You know, you and I have been at events and stuff.
But
are you going to remember that you ran into the guy there?
Come on. When you had a sit down in your office and an hour's worth of a meeting with a Russian, I would think that's something you're going to remember. Particularly, remember, he is a graduate like we are,
but he said
of the
that,
Cold War era.
But he said it wasn't in the essence of the campaign, and that's where he clarified it later. That's what he said.
I understand.
And at that time, he was head with the Senate committee, and it was his appropriate role to be meeting a number of ambassadors.
Yeah,
it wasn't
but Republicans,
like he said,
Republicans who would
over.
Normally have protected their colleague don't believe him. And well, that's why they also want him to keep coming back to the Hill.
Well, because, and I think it all goes back to the whole sort of anti-Trump feeling on Capitol Hill. There are so many. It's not like in the past you would sort of see this unified party where all the Dems would go one way, all the Republicans would go another way. There are so many Republicans that just don't like Trump and are fighting him tooth and nail, and Jeff Sessions represents Trump.
Well, now they have the latest. To me, he looks like Mr. Magoo. He could be Elmer Fudd. He is our commerce secretary, and now he is knee-deep in Russian connections because he has business dealings with Vladimir Putin's family.
Yeah, the old Paradise Papers, too. Wilbur Ross and had this sort of this, you know, hiding money or, you know, allegations of putting money in different banks. And it came up. It's funny. I was laughing, Curtis, when the headline came out because it was Wilbur Ross, Madonna, and what was it, Bon Jovi or you know, one of the big rockers.
Bon Jovi,
I don't think it was Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
But you sit there and you're laughing. What is I see the headline, Madonna
Bono.
And Wilbur Ross.
Bono.
That's what I thought. You know, how funny to see all of them in the same headline. But I think it's going to be interesting to see where that road leads because Wilbur Ross has known Donald Trump a long time, and will that be another question? The problem is right now with everything going on in the White House, Donald Trump doesn't want to ask somebody to resign. Donald Trump doesn't want somebody else to leave, and that's why Jeff Sessions has sort of maintained his position too.
Rita,
much turmoil.
What has to take place, and maybe this is the role of the new chief of staff of the White House, General Kelly, is to bring everyone in and say, we need to know.
Yeah, what are the details? No surprises.
Who has had contacts with Russians? Because this slow drip is going to kill our administration. Every other day, somebody gets called into a hearing, and more information comes forward than they were willing to reveal initially. Let's blow the hinges off the doors. Let's acknowledge any and all contacts with Russians, whether it was in your business capacity or a political capacity. Lay it all out on the table, and then we'll be done with it. But if we continue to avoid, deny, delay, this slow drip is going to take this president down.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous that it has been the slow drip. I agree with you. It's like, just let it out. On the other hand, if you look at some of the testimony of Carter Page, digging in deeper to some of this, we're hearing it from Democrats, highly politicized climate
sure,
in Washington,
sure.
And it's these people from Russia reaching out to him. Even I think they're like, I feel like it's like, okay, oh God, I can't even use the word Russia, or I can't even do this. They should admit, as you're saying, Curtis, I agree with you. Even if it was the Russians reaching out to them and them not reaching out to the Russians, they should say, this is what happened. I mean, you remember if a Russian professor or somebody reaches out to you and clearly says, hey, let's talk about this. And then he also said he was coordinating the problem that you're getting into. And as you're pointing out, that there are contacts here with Carter Page's testimony where there are emails where he's reaching out to the campaign. Now, we don't know if the campaign, in some of the case that we heard from earlier testimony, not related to him, but somebody else, saying, you know, you know, in the Papadopoulos, it was like, hey, I'm reaching out, I want to meet with them. It sounded like they were kind of trying to blow up Papadopoulos and the campaign was not responding. So far, we don't know what the response was from the campaign on Carter Page. It shows that Carter Page was reaching out and saying, hey, I'm going over there. Is there something different you want me to say in my speech? Is there something? And we don't know if the campaign wrote back and said, hey, do whatever you want. You're there on your own, buddy.
Well, if there is anything there, it's going to come out in slow
drips. It sure will. And you're right. They should just lay it out on the table because, but I think regardless, Curtis, this is going to be plaguing the Trump administration for a long time because the Democrats are out for blood. They wanted to impeach him before he even got inaugurated.
Our number's 800-848-WABC. Let's go to Robert in the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Bobby?
Hi. Hi. The evidence is overwhelming that Trump is Trump engaged in collusion with the Russians. And I tell you, the key figure involved is a guy named Felix Sater, S-A-T-E-R. If you do a Google search and type in this phrase, you'll see a 4,000-word story by Politico, a very well-respected news organization. And if you type in Trump, Putin, and Hasidic Jews. This Felix Sater is one of the head Hasidic Jews. What this article reveals is that the Hasidic Jews in Russia, that Putin has been using Hasidic Jews around the world to gather intelligence and to do espionage. And what they did is they recruited Trump. There's a synagogue in Long Island called...
I know this. I know the story.
They recruited Donald Trump.
Right. Like a secret Mossad. That's what it is. He's a secret agent.
Well, we're going to be talking about the Mossad up next because it was Harvey Weinstein who recruited a security firm of former Mossad agents to go after women.
This is
dig up dirt on them.
Yep, good old Harvey.
Sully them and convince them they don't want to be talking to the New York Times or the New Yorker magazine or to anyone else about his nefarious deeds towards them. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
After the hour or two, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden and the great facilities provided for us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. Rita Cosby is in the house, and now, Rita, you get a chance to assess what has become quite the controversy that has emerged out of the last Saturday Night Live episode in which Larry David came on and did some stand-up comedy. I mean, he's been there before, obviously. Most recently, during the campaign, he was Bernie the Out the Caca Sense.
What good does it do now?
And he did a really damn good imitation of the Out the Caca.
He was a great impersonator, but these jokes. Actually, you know what? I'm happy that it seems like everybody agrees that his jokes were over the line. He compared basically dating options to what happens in a concentration camp. I think whenever you go in a Holocaust, you've crossed the line.
Well, let's actually play the cuts. Remember, he's just revived Curb Your Enthusiasm after, I think, a 5 or 6 year sabbatical. So he first starts out in doing what Saturday Night Live chose not to do initially, which was to make any references to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, thank God they actually went to Harvey Weinstein, because everybody else is talking about it. Don't hide from it. Come on.
Remember, the founder, owner, operator, whatever his name is, who was responsible for Saturday Night Live, said, Lauren Michaels. Oh, that was just a New York thing. We didn't think it was national. Really, Lauren? You didn't think it was national? Yeah. The boy from Flushing who turned out to be the perv of all pervs.
And talk about material for Saturday Night Live. That was shocking when they did not go there. And everybody's like, huh?
Well,
you know,
here's Larry David trying on his Harvey Weinstein jokes.
I don't like it when Jews are in the headlines for notorious reasons. I want Einstein discovers the theory of relativity. Sock cures polio. What I don't want, Weinstein took it out.
Weinstein took it out. Okay, so that was the warm-up.
Right.
And then he crossed the Maginot line. He made jokes about the Holocaust.
You know, I've always been obsessed with women, and I've often wondered, if I'd grown up in Poland when Hitler came to power and was sent to a concentration camp, would I still be checking out women in the camp? I think I would, you know? Hey, Shlomo, look at that one over there by Barrett Say. Oh, my God, is she gorgeous? Oh, I've had my eye on her for weeks. I'd like to go up and say something to her. How's it going? They're treating you okay? You know, if we ever get out of here, I'd love to take you out for some latkes. You like latkes? What? What'd I say? Is it me or is it the whole thing? It's because I'm bald, isn't it?
And listen, I like Larry David. I actually appreciate his humor in general. But I just think you cannot win when it comes to Holocaust jokes. You just don't go there.
Well, let's put together a comedy review panel of Larry David's stand-up, especially when he crossed that line that so few, if any, comedians dare cross, which is to make jokes about the Holocaust. Was that acceptable, ladies and gentlemen? Did it actually work or did it bomb? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And lo and behold, do we have the breaking news category here?
You have Harvey, right? Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
The latest Harvey.
Please, we want a little breaking news here. Sorry, got a Bogart Ken Duffy before his news broadcast.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who saw no evil in Harvey Weinstein the first time around and passed on indicting him for perving on that Italian actress, even though he had the goods. He had the documentary evidence and the audio tape of Harvey Weinstein admitting that he perved on not just the Italian actress, but also on other women, is now preparing a criminal case against Harvey Weinstein to present to a grand jury. It's been rumored that this will be a rape case. About time.
Well, and this comes from the woman with Boardwalk Empire. And what makes this case, I think, different than the others, and I think some of it is the timing of it. The other thing, too, Curtis, is that apparently there are at least two other people who are corroborating the story, not necessarily were there when this alleged rape took place, but at least can confirm some parts of the story. And that's always the hardest thing, you know, as you know, as somebody with the Guardian Angels and people coming to you and stories. It's always hard that, you know, these things happen in private. And in this case, there may be two other people who are corroborating it. And this would be huge news. It sounds like it's coming pretty soon.
Well, somebody better grab his passport or passports, because we saw Manafort had three with aliases, in order to prevent him from taking the route that Roman Polanski did from Los Angeles.
And by the way, we know that Harvey's got contacts with some Israelis for sure.
Israelis and also in France.
Yes.
Where Roman Polanski to this day resides and cannot be brought back, cannot be extradited from France on the charges still pending in Los Angeles. Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jay in New Jersey, who's talking about the bit that Larry David did to stand up on Saturday Night Live when he delved into a Holocaust terrain. Thanks for joining us here on WABC, Jay.
Hey, afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
He didn't make a joke about the Holocaust. He said that if he was there, because he's so attracted to women, he was trying to make it like, you know, he would still be trying to hit on somebody regardless of his horrible circumstances. So he was saying if he was there, would he still hit on women? And he said yes. And then, you know, he was trying to make a joke about it. But he didn't make any jokes about death or anything like that. So
yeah, but the problem, Jay, did you hear he was saying, you know, oh, I'm balding. Oh, I'm this, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, it. I think there's certain things that are off limits. And listen, I'm a big believer in free speech and First Amendment, and I love comedy. I'm a huge, you know, fan of comedy. I just think, yeah, can't win. And he's sitting there saying, oh, is that, oh, it's a gun. Oh, you're bald or you're this. It's just so unseemly.
Well, he was trying to say that the circumstance would be so bad that the woman would be, you know, making an excuse to not, and then he was trying to, you know.
Yeah, and listen, Jay, I get what he's trying to say. I just think it's unseemly. I think there's certain things that are off limits. I think it's totally off limits. Let's go to Frank from New Jersey. You're here with Rita and Curtis on 77 WABC.
Hey guys, hey Rita, you know, like, if it's funny, it's funny. And you were laughing. I heard you laughing, so it was funny.
No, you heard Curtis laughing. I was going.
I heard you laughing. You were giggling because it's funny. And I don't really watch Saturday Night Live, but from what I heard, he didn't really. I mean, I'm sensitive to people and what they're offended by, okay? I'm not a liberal, but I am sensitive.
But don't you think, Frank, hang on a second, Frank, don't you think talking about the Holocaust and saying, hey, oh, look who has less hair, basically, in the concentration camp, don't you think, you know, there's another place to find humor?
Yeah, absolutely, but on the same token, it was funny. So if it's funny, I don't think, you know, listen, I'm not Jewish, and I'm not black, and I can't put myself in their shoes.
And Frank, let me tell you something. I'm not Jewish either, but my father was a prisoner of war, and so I think it's disgusting. And I think there's certain things that just, you know, you could even hear the audience. The audience was like, ah.
Yeah, but you were giggling.
You know what? Let me tell you, I was giggling at the first part, but I was not giggling as it got into it. I was giggling at the first clip, but when it got to the second clip, I think it was way over the top. Let's go to John from Westchester. You're here with Rita and Curtis on 77 WABC.
Hello, how are you? I totally agree with you. I'm married to a woman who's Jewish. I think that joke, what he did, was disgusting. I think there's no rationale for it. Not only wasn't it funny, but to joke about people that were actually killed deliberately is reprehensible. He should retire and go to Brazil and do something with himself.
You know what I'm happy about, though? I'm happy that it seems like uniformly a lot of people just think it's disgusting. Because often, Curtis, you know, when these things happen, it's like, oh, Larry, because he's a Democrat, they get a pass. And I'm happy that this time he's not getting a pass.
Well, I think the question is, should any situation be off limits at all when comedians get up on a stage and do their performance, whether it's in the course of a sitcom or they're just doing stand-up comedy?
Listen, he can do whatever he wants, and that's the great thing about America, but we don't have to listen to it, and you don't have to like it, and we're allowed to speak out, and I'm glad people are speaking out.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mindy calling from Terrytown. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here.
Thanks for taking my call. I love Larry David. To me, whatever he does is funny. However, he crossed the line. I think there are certain things you can't joke about, and the Holocaust is one of them.
I do, too. I don't think there's any funny Holocaust joke. Is there something I'm missing, Mindy? Is there any, like, funny joke out there, ha-ha, you know?
None that I ever heard, and it's just like the guy who went postal and went into the church, shot people up because of his grandmother-in-law. Are they going to make jokes about that?
Right, exactly. Where do you draw the line? Let's go to Tom from New Jersey. Tom, you're here with Curtis and Rita on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Tom. You agree?
I agree with you that it was way over the top. The fact that Larry David, and he's a funny guy. I think he's really sharp and very clever. But the fact that he's Jewish does not give him any kind of license to use that kind of humor. There is absolutely no humor to be found in anything Holocaust-related. It's oxymoron. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and listen, I wish he spent more time on Harvey Weinstein, as Curtis was saying, because I was happy at least he started to go there And I think he had wish he had spent more time. There's plenty of material there, Curtis. You don't need to go into the concentration camp issue.
Let's go to Mark in the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mark?
Yeah, I just think comedians are just a little on the edgy side, and they just do say some crazy off-the-wall things to get a laugh.
But does that excuse it, Mark?
No, it don't. But I don't think he's trying to be offensive.
No, and by the way, I don't either. I think he just thought he was trying to be clever and, like you said, push the limits. But that doesn't mean it's appropriate. I think it's totally inappropriate, Mark.
True, it's a little inappropriate. But again, I mean, you know, might be a little insensitive, but, you know, it's no need for overreaction, I think, you know.
I think we got to be respectful. Like the last caller said, you know, what are you going to start making jokes? Oh, let's go into a church and open fire on people. I mean, come on. Things are just so distasteful. Let's go to Al from Long Island. Al, you're here with Curtis and Rita on 77 WABC.
Hi, how are you, Rita? How are you, Curtis?
We're good. How you doing?
I'm very good. I became like a steady. I'm calling once a week almost.
Hey, we love that.
I would like to make a comment regarding that Larry David issue. So, first, I'm a Jewish person. My family, my mom's family, some are Holocaust survivors. Some didn't survive.
Wow.
Now, the fact that Larry David is a Jew doesn't give him any freaking right of talking about it. What's going to be the next thing? Are we going to start making jokes about slave American, African being slaves?
Well, Al, I agree with you because you heard what I just said. I mean, what are we going to say? Oh, yes. Good. Hey, a guy walks into a church with a gun. You know, I mean, where do you draw the line? I agree. Totally over the top and totally inappropriate.
A lot of comedians, as you know, Rita, they'll try out their bits, their routines before they take a national or international or even viral as it gets uploaded and put on YouTube. Chris Rock did exactly that. He has some new material about sexual harassment. He unveiled it at the Comedy Cellar this past Thursday night. He said he won't hire women anymore because he would need a crew of witnesses around him at all times so he wouldn't be accused of rape. And then he says, they cry rape because they want money. And the crowd wasn't all that engaged.
I'm glad. Bravo, crowd. Don't clap when some stuff is just so unseemly, you know, so unseemly. And speaking of Harvey Weinstein and the allegations, it's amazing these new details that are coming out, Curtis, about hiring former Mossad agents and people posing as if they are victims to get information out of those who have accused Harvey, like Rose McGowan.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
As we continue here, Rita Cosby in the house. Now, it's interesting that the law offices, District Attorney Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who has an open-door policy to defense attorneys, if you make a contribution to me today, I can all of a sudden make the case go away against your candidate tomorrow. And we have seen series and series of situations in which donations were made to his political campaign. And then all of a sudden there was no indictment.
Although he says that there's no connection. That's what the DA says. And David Boies, by the way, which is interesting because he's one of the guys you had brought up David Boies before. He was one of the ones who was tied to a donation to Vance. And now it turns out he's very instrumental in the Harvey Weinstein case, even more than we knew.
Well, now, they dropped the news that he is preparing a case to go before a grand jury next week against Harvey Weinstein for rape. About time. But it's on election day. And see, he doesn't face anyone on the ballot in terms of competition. So
right.
Initially you say, Rita Cosby, what was he raising money for anyway? He had no direct challenge from either the Republicans or any independent party. Well, he does have a challenge. And you may have remembered, I came to support him when after the Weinstein allegations of the pay for release that existed between, as you mentioned, David Boies and also a woman, Abramowitz, who used to be Cyrus White Shoes Vance's law partner, who actually headed up Team Weinstein. She donated $35,000. That meant she bundled it from her law firm. So David Boies, $10,000. So that's $45,000. That certainly helped make that case go away. But I support in today's election, and you have to write in his name if you're a resident of Manhattan County, Mark Fleedner. He came forward from Brooklyn. He ran in the primary, Democratic primary, to be district attorney there. Lost there, but ran a really good race. And he was willing to come and live in Manhattan, which is required, in order to run against Cyrus White Shoes Vance. He's living over in Stuyvesant Town. So if you happen to be a Manhattan voter and you haven't voted yet, please don't just fill in the little dot for Cyrus White Shoes Vance. Write in the name Mark Fleedner. You can write in a person's name. I've done it before. It's a simple process to do with the paper ballot. Don't let Cyrus White Shoes Vance have an overwhelming plurality in order to justify his pay-for-play operations that have sort of lost paperwork on the famous, the rich, the wealthy. Meantime, some kid puts a gun in your back and takes a few dollars out of your pocket, right? And he's looking at 5 to 7 years. Weinstein perves on all these women, and he's looking at going out after dealing with Cyrus White Shoes Vance to do it all over again.
Well, and even though Vance is very, very far ahead, as you talk about, it's interesting, as we're hearing these stories now coming out in the trickling and the leaks, and a lot of times leaks are intentional, too, that the arrests are coming. It's interesting that we're hearing much more about it. Here it is, Election Day. Is it showing, okay, I am taking some action? And some of these stories, though, you know, I'm telling you, Curtis, it's disgusting when I see the lengths that Harvey Weinstein, according to Ronan Farrow's story here, that back as early as about a year ago, when he was getting an inkling that these stories were coming out, that he was employing David Boies and some of these other folks and this group, this is a Black Cube. I had never heard of Black Cube. I do. It's a former Israeli Mossad folks, and some of them were actually posing as victims and meeting with Rose McGowan and some of these others to try to get dirt and also working with journalists.
Well, remember, he recruited Matt Damon and Russell Crowe to walk into the newsroom of the New York Times and lobby them against running the story. Matt Damon seems to be suffering a little dementia. He doesn't seem to remember that intervention.
He doesn't remember much. But here, this is what I think is so outrageous, is that they went to the lengths of having somebody pretend that they're a women's right activist to meet with Rose McGowan, then with journalists and others to pretend that they're victims. In other words, let me pretend so you kind of reveal what you're working on, and then I can go back to Harvey. It's this unbelievable guise of deception, and clearly shows that he knew that this was coming from a long time and would go to whatever lengths to cover it up. I think it's just disgusting. And if I were a journalist, I would just, well, which I am, I would just be outraged if I was involved in this game.
I'm sure he could be a celly of Anthony the Perv Wiener, who's now doing federal time outside of Boston in Massachusetts. But anyway, on that note, let's get some news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
.238, Rita Cosby in the house, and it's time for ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. It's your shot at winning $1,000, and it happens four times a day as you listen right here to WABC. What you got to do is get down and listen intently for key words at 9:05 during Bernie and Sid show, and 12:05 during this show, then 3:05 with Michael Savage, who follows, and 6:05 with Mark Levin, who follows the drive home at 5 that I host. You text the key word to 62582. And you could win. Just listen, text, and win. That's four times a day right here at WABC. To get further details, just go online at WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com. Meantime, you heard Ken Duffy play probably one of the last political cuts we will ever hear from the outgoing governor, Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. He was at Mendham. His polling location, where he votes, and he decided to get into it with a constituent there over an issue about consolidation involving, I think, the township and the village.
that.
As governor, I can't.
So why didn't you?
I can't.
Well, then why
I don't have the authority to do it.
Well, you know what?
Go in and vote for whatever you want. I never said I was going to merge the two towns. I understand. You're so frustrated. And you know what? The easiest thing in the world, the easiest thing in the world is to stand where you stand and stand on the sidelines and critique. And well, you're not, but you're the one here doing the critiquing. So you know what? You want to merge? You live in Mendham Township. You want to merge Mendham Township and Mendham Borough? Run for the township committee. Run for the township committee in Mendham Township and be the voice to do it. No, I know, because that's too hard. It's easier. It's easier to sit here. It's easier to sit here and complain. It's easier.
And I don't have the money like you.
Yeah. Oh, really? I'm sure. I'm sure. Easier to sit here and complain.
I love Chris Christie. He's going down swinging.
What an a-hole.
Well, you know what? It is so classic Chris Christie that down to the end, he's fighting. I think he's feeling a little stressed because today, of course, as we're looking at the polls right now, Phil Murphy is ahead in the New Jersey governor's race against his lieutenant governor, Kim Guadagno. You don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen, as we know, in races. And it looks like it is tightening a little bit. So it could turn out to be, I hope, because we're going to be doing wall-to-wall coverage tonight. It'll be interesting to see where the results go. But I think Chris Christie's a little stressed, but it is so classic Chris Christie that as he is there in the voting booth, he just engages. And he's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, he's a hater. He's a hater because, let's face it, this gubernatorial election cycle, Murphy has been dropping bombs on Christie's legacy, as has his lieutenant governor Guadagno, who wants everyone to know, I am not Shamu. I am not El Jefe Chris Christie. I am independent and autonomous. And I don't agree with most of the things that he ignored during his 8 years in office, nor the many measures that he stood for.
Well, that's why this is election day. And everybody, by the way, you got to get out and vote. The polls, again, are closing in New Jersey at 8 o'clock. In New York, it is 9 o'clock in New York City. So make sure you get out and vote. But you sit there and you look at it. This whole election, I feel like it's Phil Murphy versus Chris Christie. And it's Bill de Blasio against Donald Trump. And that's all they have to do is keep mentioning those names over and over again. And Nicole Malliotakis is in a difficult situation because she voted for Trump, as is Bo Dietl. They voted for Trump. They acknowledge that. But then yet they have to distance themselves because, of course, in New York City, Trump is not very popular. Big Democratic town. Same thing in New Jersey right now. Chris Christie. Poll numbers at a terrible. All Phil Murphy has to say is Chris Christie. Oh, I mean, Kim Guadagno. That's all he has to do and just keep on going. And clearly they're riding this. And well, Chris Christie's frustrated to the bitter end.
There are two major issues in the gubernatorial run in New Jersey. It always is over property taxes. Neither candidate seems to have come up with a comprehensive plan on what to do with the property taxes and then the rebates. They'd also go, I might add, to renters, not just property owners. But they both declare that they're going to lower property taxes, sure. Then
they always say that
there is the impending pension crisis, the looming crisis that it's unfunded by government because way back, I think it was Christine Todd Whitless who decided she wasn't contributing to the pension fund any longer. Chris Christie, he continued with that just recently, did contribute to it. But that pension system is ready to explode, and neither Guadagno or Murphy have come up with any answers about what to do. They all acknowledge, oh, something's got to be done about it. But neither of them has a comprehensive plan on what they would do about it. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And then the other big issue on this side of the Hudson in New York is that we have three initiative and referendums.
On the back of the ballot, nonetheless.
Right.
Kind of hidden there in the back of the ballot. And of course, the big one, there's the three. There's the one about infrastructure. There's the one about state officials should not get their pensions if convicted of a felony. I agree with that. And then, of course, the Constitutional Convention, which is getting so much buzz. I'm happy to see, by the way, because sometimes these ballot initiatives kind of go by the wayside. I think they were trying to... It seems like they were put there on the back to kind of go by the wayside, but I'm happy that it's being debated publicly.
Well,
they're important
debated
issues.
And earlier today on Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg's show, here was Sid, who was ready to vote yes in order to deal with the chronic corruption of the New York State political machines, both Democrats and Republicans up in Albany. And then Bernard McGurk pulls a rabbit out of his hat, talks about, oh, yeah, but if you vote yes on the Constitutional Convention, they're going to take everybody's pension. They're going to toss him out into the streets. People are not going to be able to live. I say, hey, Bernie, what the hell was that? Where did you get that from? And that's been part of the fear, fright, hysteria, and hype of those who have been saying vote no. That's why if you go, and you certainly need to go, make sure you turn over that paper ballot in New York State and vote on Proposition 1. Vote yes. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go, if we can, to Jeff, who's calling from Tom's River in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Jeff.
Okay, hi, Curtis and Rita. In Jersey here, we got Chubbsy Ubsy telling all the people out there, scaring them, the state's going to lose your pensions, you're going to lose your pensions. Chubbsy Ubsy never talks about running out of welfare checks, if you notice. And in New Jersey, all we have are overlapping millions of different municipalities, millions of mayors. Go Buchanan, go, go Buchanan, go, go.
Steve from Manhattan. Yeah, see that? He's making common sense, and then he ruins it.
Yeah, he ruins it. Let's go to Kevin
Bronx. It has to do with consolidation, what he was talking about. It's always been a big issue. You know, should you fold all the services that local towns, villages, boroughs provide, some of them by taxing you even more, and just have a county-wide series of services? And then many say, yeah, but we like our little home rule. We like the fact that we're able to make determinations about our own town, our own village, but it never comes up for a vote. It never gets properly debated.
No, it's still sort of out there. That's the issue.
That's why initiative and referendums are so important, because
Absolutely. People
will get more pumped up about principles than they will about politicians.
Absolutely. And that's why, listen, I am thrilled that on the flip side, as we're talking about also New York, I am so happy that this Constitutional Convention issue has become, I talked to Bob Capano, who's running for city council. And of course, he's the only one in his race who's for it.
In Bay Ridge.
And he's made it a big issue.
I
think we have to get involved. We have to get engaged. Let's go to Kevin from the Bronx. Kevin, you're here with Rita and Curtis on 77 WABC.
Hello, Rita Curtis. Okay, now, the campaign political ads, the commercials that we're hearing in New Jersey, New York, and I don't know, maybe in Virginia, I think that this should stop. I think that starting, you know, we've been hearing enough of that, and I think that all the electioneering with the campaign commercials over and over again, especially, I mean, on election day,
But how else are you going to find out about issues? And sometimes, by the way, you know what's interesting, Kevin? We see so much. I've seen so many ads, especially like Nicole Malliotakis and in New York, Bill de Blasio. I've seen a lot of Kim Guadagno and obviously Phil Murphy. But it's been like intense in the last 2 weeks. And that's part of the reason is a lot of people, despite that we've been talking about it for a year plus, for a lot of people don't decide until last minute.
Well, that's the reason, because many years ago when they started having all this electioneering of the campaign commercials and radio and all that, and everything stops at the midnight on election day. And now I hear this on election, and now I'm hearing all this on election day. Right now.
Well, I'll tell you why, Kevin, because years ago when we were growing up, you had apparatchiks. They were either raised by their parents to be loyal Democrats or Republicans, so you generally followed in the footsteps of your parents. But the millennials and the hipsters, many of them, they don't register as Republicans or Democrats. They register as independents. They're free agents. They're called blanks by the Board of Elections. It shows you what a pejorative remark that is. And they don't make up their mind until the last few days.
Yeah, and by the way, sometimes in races,
that's 10% of a vote of people who are not making their minds up until the very end. It may even be the day they're going to cast their vote. And so that's why the politicians feel like, oh, yeah, we got to bomb away with every conceivable ad that we can extort, shake down money from our contributors to either put on the radio, put on TV. Now they'll use all kinds of social networking platforms. The moment all of a sudden you go on your Facebook, boom, there's a pop-up for Nicole Malliotakis. Or boom, there's a pop-up for Murphy there in New Jersey for governor. And that's why they're gonna spend every last nickel, dime, and penny, especially on election day, where they know.
And they got
it's
the
a percentage
funds.
Of people who make up their minds, believe it or not, on election day itself.
And you know what's so funny, Curtis, too? I mean, I remember even talking to people when I was voting last go around. I'm going to vote, by the way, as soon as we're done with the show here, I'm going to go and vote because I think you got to go out and vote. But on election day, I remember even talking to people in line, and they're like, well, we're not really sure who we're going to vote.
Yep.
I mean, some people go right in the booth.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm curious who Trump is going to vote for, because Trump has filled out an absentee ballot, and so has Melania. It'll be interesting to see, because he hasn't said anything about Nicole Malliotakis.
Oh, for her sake, he shouldn't.
Or Bo Deedle. Right, right.
This is not a Trump city.
It may be intentional. Exactly. We don't know. It'll be interesting to see who he votes and if he does indeed cast a vote.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.